Okay, so we got 60% of the audience says that. Okay. All right, so what, C-sharp? C-sharp, XAML, raise your hand. Okay, all right, put your hands down. HTML, JavaScript, CSS? Okay, now let me ask you a different question. Okay, so it's like a little bit fewer on the web platform. So how many of you have in mind the platform that you're going to use already, XAML, DirectX, native, web, CSS, HTML, JavaScript? How many have in mind the platform you're going to use for your app already? You already know? Okay, so just shout it out. What are you guys going to use? XAML, web, XAML, XAML. Any other web? We got one web. Any other web? Oh, okay, all right, so it's more than zero. Okay, that's good. A lot of times we go, it just depends on the type of people we interact with, right? Because a lot of people who have been around the Microsoft ecosystem for a lot, long time, they have a lot of resources in-house to do C-sharp and XAML, so it's natural for them to do that. But good. Okay, we have a mix here. Any DirectX? Any native? Okay. Plans to make the app with that. Okay. Good to know. Good to know. Okay. So we're all deep nerds, and not as deep as some other people, but we're like in Dante's version of hell, we're like three levels deep in the nerdery. And so there are those that are four and five levels deep, but that's okay. So we are going to be showing you some code, and we're going to be showing you some demos. And for those of you who are not developers, if you have any pertinent questions to ask because we're getting too deep in things, please ask. For those of you who are and you have further questions about what we're doing, please ask. We are not here to sit here and lecture and tell you things that are not relevant to your interests. So because of the uniqueness of this audience, please be willing to be very vocal with your questions. Interrupt us at any time. We want to tailor this as much as we can to you guys. So does that make sense? By the way, my name was Josh Pepper.
And I am Uni Ravindranathan. I'm also a program manager working on Visual Studio, and this is.
And I'm Jordan, another program manager working on Visual Studio.
Okay, so I'm going to kick off today with sort of like a tour of Visual Studio. So I'm going to take you through all the things that we've done in Visual Studio to help you build Windows 8, applications, be that XAML or HTML or C++. Over the last day or so, have you had some exposure to Visual Studio? Have you played with it a little bit around, Windows 8 scenarios? So I'm assuming that for some of you, it's probably the first sort of look into Visual Studio. So I'm going to, do a little basic stuff. If you, like Josh was mentioning, if you have any questions at any point, and if you want to just ask any sort of questions, feel free to sort of obstruct us, and we'll help answer your questions and show you demos that are relevant to you. So with that, I'm going to switch over to these slides for just a couple of slides. Like we said, we're going to talk about, partly Visual Studio, and then we're going to do a quick tour of Blend as well, which is sort of our design-focused tool for helping you build metro applications. What is Visual Studio? You probably know it's probably one of the best IDEs out there. It's very developer-focused. The emphasis is on writing code, debugging, profiling, building your bits, deploying, and so on and so forth. Visual Studio has support for a bunch of platforms like Windows Phone, Silverlight, WPF, but today we're going to be talking about Windows 8 only and, how to build Windows Store applications for Windows 8. If you go to the web, you'll find that there are a lot of SKUs of Visual Studio. Now, one good thing is basically Windows 8 development is free. You go to the web, you download the Express SKU, which has support for nothing but Windows 8 scenarios, and you can get started. Everything that you need is right there. So your setup story is pretty much install Windows 8, install Visual Studio, and you have everything that you need to build a store application. Now, of course, I realize that. Sorry? Question? Yeah, sure. Yes. The official name of the release is Visual Studio 2012. You may have also heard the terminology Dev 11, which kind of refers to the same thing. But the name we are using going forward is Visual Studio 2012. And Yes, please. Yeah. Gotcha. Yep. Yep, yep. I'm going to be doing demos using the final bits, but that said, there is nothing that I'm going to show that does not apply to your bits as well. Just... Yes, please. Yeah, again, I'm not sure what level of information we are supposed to share. Can we do NDA information here? We can, right? So yes, it's supposed to be available for MSDN subscribers in a week, less than, like around August 15th, as far as I can tell. Yes. Now the question is, when is Windows 8 available to you as well? It is my understanding that it's the same date. Okay, then your Visual Studio should be available middle of next week, to the end of next week. Yes. Good point. The question was, when is Visual Studio 2012 RTM, which is the final done bits of Visual Studio, available? The answer is, on Connect or MSDN, it should be available towards the end of next week, by the end of next week. Okay, so those are the different SKUs. Like somebody was mentioning, you know, if you're doing driver development, you probably need professional or higher. But for normal like store scenarios, you don't need anything but Express, which is freely available on the web. Like you probably know, Metro apps can be built in the language of your choice. So like Josh was mentioning, there is JavaScript support using HTML, CSS as sort of the front-end technology. There is XAML, and with XAML, you can build native applications in C++ or all of the things that you could do in managed world as well. So you can do C#, VB, any of those .NET languages are supported. DirectX is also sort of like a cool scenario that's primarily targeted towards the C++ audience. So, and a really cool capability is the whole interop between XAML and DirectX. So you could write sort of your high-performance sort of rendering pipeline in DirectX and then sort of have like a XAML front-end for menus and, you know, app bars or whatever is more like, you know, LOB type of UI that you can overlay on top. Quick couple words about Blend. Like, Visual Studio is really focused at the developer audience, coding, profiling, debugging. Blend, we have tried to optimize or tailor for sort of like the design experience. So what we mean by that is we kind of let you focus on design concepts and take care of some of the syntax for you. But at the same time, we do not abstract the platform completely from you. So all the capabilities of the platform, be that XAML or HTML, is available for you. But you kind of think more high-level sort of like visual design type of things. And Josh's demo will make that very clear when he kind of shows the capabilities. And in Blend, you can build, like just like Visual Studio, you can build XAML applications or HTML applications, and we'll focus on both of those. So that's all the slides we have. You're going to switch to demos. I'm going to take you through a quick tour of Visual Studio and all the things that are there for helping you build Windows 8 applications. I'm not going to be talking about driver development in particular, but that should be hopefully okay because you can tie the two and two together in some ways. And if you have any specific questions, we'll definitely hook you up with people who can provide more data about those questions. Yes, please. Sorry? Yeah. Okay. Thumbs up indeed. All righty. So let's get started. So when you launch Visual Studio, the first thing you're likely to do is to create a project, right? And for what we've done for Windows 8 is we have introduced an by the way, let me take a step back. I'm going to show some demos now that's XAML and C#. Whatever I'm going to show is equally applicable to pretty much all the platforms. So if you're a native developer writing C++ code, all of the things that you're seeing here are applicable to you. If you're a JavaScript developer, you know, writing code in JavaScript and you're, you know, working HTML, CSS, those concepts, while they're specific to that platform, all of the capabilities are available. So we'll switch gears a little bit between HTML and XAML. So the first thing when you bring up Visual Studio and try to create a project, you'll notice that we provide you templates for all the languages. So there is C#. If you go to other languages, there is C++, and there is JavaScript as well. So you can create these store applications or Metro applications in any of the languages that you want. So let's go ahead and create a C# grid application and just quickly run it to see all the capabilities that are given to you just out of the box. So before even looking at what's going on behind the scenes, I'm going to go and run this application. To build and run an application, you hit F5. So out of the box, what you see is sort of like the first application. It's pretty functional. So here you're seeing sort of like a grouped layout of multiple items. You can navigate to a particular item. All of the navigation stack is hooked up. So if you navigate across pages, we do everything necessary to kind of retain that page that you navigate to. You can click on a group title. You can see all the items in the group. So the template is very functional right out of the box, right? It's hooked up to data. So it's using this sort of MVVM style pattern where you have clear separation of your UI and your data model. And the glue code, which is data binding in the case of XAML, is all done for you. So it's a very, very functional thing right out of the box. In addition to this, how many of you have heard of like Windows 8 sort of view states, which is, you know, snapped and filled and portrait? So all of this is supported by the templates out of the box. If I take this application, and because of resolution, I won't be able to dock it because it's running at an awkward resolution. But I should just be able to drag it, and you'll see that the entire visualization of the application changes to sort of like that narrow column view instead of this full screen view that you're seeing here. So the templates are very functional out of the box for all the platforms. So you could imagine building your first Metro application, which just consumes, let's say, some data from your web service with just a few lines of code, you know, right out of the box. It's really easy to build this application. So let's take a look at what's going on behind the scenes, because that's probably what you're interested in. The first thing for a XAML application is that the project itself consists of multiple XAML files. So let's go ahead and open grouped items page, which is the XAML file that gets presented to you when you launch the application. What you're seeing here is sort of like the XAML designer. It's sort of like fully functional. What you see is what you get, you know, authoring experience for manipulating your XAML. I'm assuming most of you have heard of XAML before, right? Yes? Okay. So it's just for people who haven't, it's like a markup language that describes your user interface, and this is a tool that lets you author that markup, right? And so, for example, if I go ahead and rotate this button, you'll notice that all that is happening is things are changing behind the scenes as far as the properties of that button are concerned. The XAML designer itself consists of like an interactive area where you can manipulate things visually. There is the toolbox that lists all the controls that you can drag and drop to create your user interface, and a few other panels like the property inspector that lets you precisely control properties that you want to set in an element. If you open multiple pages, you'll notice that there is nothing, like all of the things that we saw, and let me just zoom out a little bit so you can see what's going on, or zoom right over there. You'll notice that it's basically everything is fully available for you to start customizing, you know, out of the box. Now, I could not demonstrate the snapping feature, but guess what? The tool lets me allows me to actually show that feature to you. So the tool itself has this cool device panel that lets you tailor your applications for different form factors, right? So if I wanted to change the resolution that my application would be rendered, because remember that when you're building Windows 8 applications, you're kind of designing for multiple form factors, right? You're designing right from the slate to like a full HD display. And so the device panel in Blend and Visual Studio allows you to make changes so that you can preview your application under different DPI settings as well as different resolutions. So if I change to 20 by 1080, you will see that more items are now visible because there is really more pixels to play with. Oops. This mouse is a little weird. So what I was going to show you is, like, you know, remember we could not show a demonstration of like how things look like when you snap. But guess what? Using the device panel in Blend and VS, you can actually see that in action. Oops. Again, something weird is going on. Oh. Okay. The recording is also going on in parallel, so things are a little slow. So you can see, like, as I change my orientation, you'll notice that my application looks very different, dramatically different than what it did at that full screen resolution. So the key takeaway is the XAML designer is fully functional. It lets you create and manipulate user interfaces and author XAML. Let's go ahead and take a look at some other peripheral components that you may want to use as you're, you know, building your Windows 8 application. So we saw how you can hit F5, build and deploy the application and start debugging it, right? So it's now running under the debugger. If I wanted to actually visualize what happens when, oops, and again, things are,
pretty slow.
I can open any XAML file, sort of put a breakpoint, and start debugging. So this is the function that gets called when you click on an item, right? So if I go back to my application and sort of click on an item, you should,
if I'm doing it right,
see the breakpoint getting hit. So as I run the application,
I don't know what is happening here. Thoughts?
Oh, sorry. I made a mistake there.
I should be going to this one right here.
Let's put a breakpoint here.
And put a breakpoint on the click event of that file. All right. Sorry about that.
We'll run it. When I debug it, you'll see that the breakpoint gets hit. I can use all of the capabilities of VS to debug it. I can continue, you know, debugging my application, I hit an item, the click handler gets called, and I can use all of the capabilities of VS to debug this application. I'm not going to talk a lot about debugger, but if people are interested in, you know, looking at that, I can definitely talk about that as well. The next thing I wanted to show you is how do you actually test your application that works under sort of like, you know, under different form factors, right? And for that, we have multiple options. The first option is you can use the simulator. The simulator is, think about the simulator as, you know, something that's running, which kind of, let's just go ahead and do it so that we can talk about it. As I go ahead and hit F5, what comes up is this UI that sort of allows you, it's almost like a terminal session into your own machine, but it's isolated from your own session. So you're kind of, you know, deploying the application in sort of like a different environment, and you can do a bunch of things to it. So let's go ahead and continue debugging. You can do things like change the resolution. So I go ahead and, let's say, make it like full HD over here. You know, you'll notice that the application sort of restarts, and now you can see a lot more items in your UI, right? So you can simulate a large number of things using the simulator, which otherwise would need a physical device. So you don't need to, you know, buy all kinds of devices. You can pretty much, you know, test on a certain set of standard, you know, configurations, all using the simulator, and then actually deploy it. We highly recommend that you actually test it in the actual device as well, but the simulator lets you sort of bridge that gap and lets you get started on building applications, you know, that kind of scale across multiple form factors. You can simulate things like touch, and that's why it is called a simulator, and it's not an, like, you know, you can simulate a lot of things, like you can touch, simulate multi-touch. All of these things can be sort of simulated using this, you know, the simulator, so to speak. Now, once you're done sort of building the basics of, yes, please. Yeah, absolutely. So that's what I was going to next. So once you have built your basic application and you're ready, it's highly recommended that you test it in your real world. So the way you do that is you would deploy the application to your remote machine. And the way you do that is through Wi-Fi. You don't need to sort of plug in your machine or anything like that. If you are, let's say, I'm domain joined and I wanted to deploy the application to an actual device, I have to run a daemon, sort of like a, you open a port on the other device for which we provide you a tool. So if you search for let's search for remote, you will see that there is a tool that Visual Studio provides. Oops, what is it called? Debugger. I think I searched for debugger. There's a tool that we give you that lets you like sort of open the port on the device and start listening. Once you do that,
and I'm not sure. At a different monitor. There we go. Sorry, I was looking. The start menu is a little confusing. I don't know which start menu I'm invoking. See, this is from a different machine. There we go. That's probably better. I wish I could invoke the start menu somehow for this guy. I guess I can do it here. I'm having a hard time hitting this thing. Any thoughts? Yeah, I'm doing it, but what's happening is it's basically switching to the start page of the machine that I'm remoting in from.
So anyway, once you launch that daemon, what happens next is you can select remote machine, and hit F. You can just enter the IP address of the machine, and it automatically deploys the application to the machine and launches another debugger. So debugging under the ARM really means you're installing Visual Studio on your x86 machine or x64 machine, deploying the binary locally to the ARM machine, and sort of like remotely debugging it in some ways. So that's the workflow. Like one, if I had like a machine, I could have shown, like, you know, you would actually see all of the machines getting listed in sort of your My Subnet section. You just select that, hit OK. The application that gets deployed, each time you make a change, we redeploy the application on the device, and then you start debugging sort of remotely over the wire. So that's a pretty cool workflow that you could potentially use. Yes? That's a good question. I think there is a story for that. I'm not 100% sure. What I can do is I can get you an answer for that question as to how to do it over, you know, without using Wi-Fi. It is my understanding that, yes, you can sort of dock your device as well and then debug it, but I think it has to be, there has to be some sort of network aspect to it. So it has to be sort of, you know, it is my understanding that it has to be accessible via sort of LAN, but it's possible that you can also do it, you can open sort of a COM port or something and do some debugging. I'll get you an answer for that. I know for a fact that there's a way to do that using some other tools. Whether there's a way to do that in Visual Studio or not, I can get you an answer to that question. So, yes, please. No. The question was, is it possible to use this, what we call it, the simulator, not the emulator, because it's really not an emulation. It's your full sort of, you know, your session that is running. Is the simulator also available for Windows 7? No, you need a Windows 8 client machine to run the simulator. Okay, so moving on. The next thing I wanted to show you, please let me know if you have any other questions about the simulator and I can focus on those specific scenarios. The next thing I wanted to show you is when you create your Windows 8 application, you have some metadata that describes it, right? How many of you have heard of this old package manifest? People have talked about it over the last couple, you know. But it is sort of like an XML file that describes information about your application, the name of the application, an icon, you know, some sort of splash screen, so that when the user buys that, goes to the store and buys the application, the store knows how to present that information, and so does the user start screen and things like that, right? There is a tile, there is an icon for it. All of that is authored using what we call the package manifest, which in the project system is shown as package.apex manifest. If I go and double-click it, we have a designer for that too, and there is a pretty visual way of authoring all of the elements in the package manifest. The package manifest is nothing but an XML file, so if I right-click on it and say view code, and click close the designer, you'll notice that it is nothing but an XML file that sort of describes multiple things about the application. What is the entry point for your application? What is the name of the executable? What is the name of the tile for that application? What is sort of like, you know, the identity of the application? All of this can be manipulated without actually manipulating the XML file by just using the package designer. The package designer also lets you do different things like associate multiple capabilities. So if you wanted, you know, webcam access for your application, you'd have to opt in to that capability by clicking on this checkbox here. So it's a visual way of authoring the manifest that describes your application to the operating system, so that when the user acquires the application and starts sort of, you know, working with it, different things happen, like capabilities and things like that, right? So we have a designer for that too. I mean, that's pretty much a quick tour of Visual Studio. I mean, how about we switch gears and show a little bit of Blend, and then we can open the floor up for questions and demos that people want to see, where people want us to focus more deeply on, and we can go from there. Just be a little careful using the mouse, because... yeah. Any questions?
I have more highlighters, more free highlighters.
Yes, please. So the question is, when she changes the build configuration of the project from x86 to ARM or x64, she's not able to see the XAML designer. So that is sort of like a limitation of the XAML designer. in terms of the fact that you need to change the configuration to x86, and there is a good reason for that. Remember that the XAML designer is actually executing your code, and the XAML designer is Visual Studio, which is a 32-bit process. So we are not able to execute x64 or ARM code in your 32-bit process. You know, and that's the reason why the XAML designer is not available when you change your build configuration to x64 or ARM, because that code cannot be executed inside Visual Studio. So you do get full IntelliSense experience and things like that, but you do not get the design view, because getting the design view to render requires us to execute your code, your custom controls and things like that, which cannot be done, you know, in a 32-bit process. So that's the reason. Yes. Yeah, that's definitely an option. Yes, the question was like, you know, what's the recommendation for this limitation? Yes, we have seen like, you know, most code these days is fairly easily cross compile it. So people actually do that quite a bit, which is they change the active configuration to x86, do their design work, F5 it, you know, come back and then change the configuration. When they want to actually debug their application, they change to x64 or ARM, and then debug their application that way. But just to be clear, it's only the design surface that's not available. You get IntelliSense, so you can definitely type your XML or XAML by hand. So that's the limitation. Yes, please. When Josh is setting up, I'm going to log on to my laptop and I'll show you that workflow. I just cannot do it remotely. What you have to do is, when you have to install, there is a standalone MSI that's available, which contains sort of like a tool that you run on your target machine, which sort of opens up a port, because that's the port through which that's the debugging channel. So all you have to do is run this executable that you install on your ARM machine or x86 or x64, run it, and then that device will get listed in sort of like that list of remote devices. Hit OK, and then you're good to go. Yeah, so the question is, what's the deviations between the simulator and... you would definitely see resolution differences, DPI, things like that. So for example, Windows 8 has a pretty nice way of specifying your scalar assets, by which I mean like images, that that have multiple DPI settings associated with them. Because the same image, no matter how good the operating system does to scale up or down, the image will not look exactly like a designer wanted, you know, on a higher resolution or a lower resolution device. So that's the reason why you definitely want to make sure that you test your application at least in the simulator, or so you can make sure that the application looks pixel perfect on a high density, high DPI device. I would imagine I would definitely care a lot about DPI and resolution. I would imagine like things like high contrast would matter a lot. Like, Windows, of course, cares really a lot about high contrast. And some of these platforms, like in particular XAML and HTML, when you change the high contrast settings, the apps themselves start looking differently, because they kind of inherit those properties from the operating system. So that's not a device thing, but in general, it's something that you should keep in mind. High contrast, DPI, I don't know if you can think of anything else. These are some things that we usually see, where it's easy to go wrong. And we'll keep taking questions while Josh is doing his demos. Yes.
What Win32 context you're talking about? Like MFC or WPF? Okay.
As far as I can tell, I don't think there is anything that is. If you were using MS Build, any chance?
You don't need TFS to build this. This is just, it will integrate if you wanted to.
Oh,
So I think the question is higher level than this. Can you build your Windows 8 applications? This is the same as asking, can you build a Windows 8 application on a Windows 7 device? Right? Because
in TFS built machine. In TFS, you have a special built machine which run build controller. Mm-hmm. So when I select my solution, my team project, I say, out build, right click, and start building in the remote machine. And the result will be in another remote machine. So, question, can I build control UI application in the same way?
I'm pretty sure you can.
Well, at some point, you're going to need to get access to an install of Visual Studio that's running on a Win8 box. And you can do that in a variety of ways, right? So you can run, if you want to, you can have your MS build file that's running in your TFS build machine run PSExec on a remote machine that, as long as it's running Win8, that's fine. But you won't be able to kick off a process, an MS build process, on a TFS build machine that's on purely a Windows 7 device and have it build a Metro app. Correct. Well, you can also have it kick off a process on a Win8 box remotely. There are different ways to do that, but at some point it's got to build on a Win8 box.
Also, it is my understanding that you can, though I'll confirm this for you offline if you send me an email, you can build, not run, a Windows 8 application on a Windows 7 machine. Yes, I think you can.
Really?
You can build.
Okay.
But you can't deploy, of course.
We got to follow up with you on this. Because
again, usually build machine is server. Yeah. Server machine.
Yeah.
2012 server.
Right.
If you like, Joshua, if you get in touch with us, we'll get you a concrete answer.
Yeah.
And put you in touch with the TFS guys.
Yeah.
Who can help you answer this question more exactly than what we can.
All right, so we're going to just work through a little bit of content here on Blend. And again, stop me if you have questions. So my first question here, and this is going to be kind of, this is going to govern a little bit about how much of this I go through, is how many of your companies, or how many of the people you work with in the workflow of creating applications work with professional designers? You may not think they're very professional, but we call them professional designers, right? Okay, good. So do any of you... play the designer role? You're primarily a developer, but you are forced to play a designer on TV? Okay, all right, a couple people. All right, so Blend, we make this tool primarily for visual designers. If you are thinking about setting a breakpoint, you should be in Visual Studio. If you're thinking about doing layout-oriented activities or setting a color of something, that in general is easier to do in Blend. So this is an application that's just a little memory game. So it's, you try and find matching tiles. Let's see, this guy was over here, was that right? Yeah, there you go. So I found a matching tile there. I found one. There's three attempts. This is just the application that I'm going to use to demonstrate some of the features of Blend. So this is Blend. You'll notice that the layout is going to be pretty similar to Visual Studio. Raise your hand if you've ever used Blend before in any context. Oh my gosh, you all won prizes. Free highlighters for everybody. So this is awesome. So some of you have some context here. That's good. So you'll notice that there's this projects over here, this projects pane. It opens the exact same project format that Visual Studio uses. So you can actually have both Visual Studio and Blend open at the same time on the same project. I'm using an HTML-based application for this demonstration. So I'm both switching over to Blend, and I'm switching over to the HTML platform as compared to the demos that Uni was doing. Yes?
We added it, right?
I think we did. I think we added it. Even if we didn't add it, I sympathize with your pain. I know that's not as good as actually adding it, but it's high on our list of things to do. I think we got there for RTM. Yeah. So, good question. So, we're looking at an HTML application. You know, there's some CSS in there. There's some JavaScript in there. So I'll just point out kind of what's the lay of the land here. First of all, we've got a design surface just like we do in Visual Studio. Oh, good. Some of my shortcuts. Nope, they do. Okay. You notice that there's the kind of similar split view that you're probably used to, where there's code at the bottom, there's the artboard up in the top, there's the projects that I talked about, there's assets. These are basically HTML elements that you can drag over onto the artboard. Because in the HTML platform, you're used to working with style rules. Here's a whole list of the style rules that are in the application. One of the cool features of this as it pertains to HTML is that you can go down here and add a new style rule, and then you can do things like get IntelliSense. Oh, my caps lock. Let's try again. You can do things like get IntelliSense on style rule selectors, which is, if you've ever coded in the HTML platform, this is a huge deal. There's very few other tools that do this kind of thing. Notice that it's a little difficult to see here, but I'm in the midst of writing a new style rule here, and here's game item, and that number to the right is here's how many elements that current style rule that I'm in the midst of creating would apply to. It's going to apply to 16 elements. This is actually .gameItem, which means the game item class, and those green borders around those squares show me live on my design surface where on my application that style rule would apply. But I don't really need that right now, so I'll just go ahead and delete it. Similar to what Uni just showed you in Visual Studio, there's a way to show how this application looks in different views. In this case, the filled view or the snap view. Oh my gosh, it looks horrible. Portrait, that kind of thing. It's actually showing it live on the design surface. There's something interesting going on here, and that is that we have this thing called interactive mode. So it's different than the simulator. It's different than the emulator in the sense that if I go and start in interactive mode, now I'm actually running it, right? So I can start the game. Here's my timer starting. I can go and make an attempt. I'll go click around a little bit. All right. So I've got now one tile open. I'm in interactive mode. I close interactive mode. And that's still running on my design surface. So let me zoom in here. Oh, geez. Here we go. So look at that timer. It's still running. So what we're actually doing there is we are actually executing JavaScript live on the design surface. We're actually hosting an instance of Internet Explorer in our tool that's running JavaScript. The reason why we do that is because a lot of times in highly interactive apps, you want to be able to get to a state of the application and style that visual state as a distinct entity. In this case, that visual state is the state of this card here, and it's open. I've selected one card. And I may want to make that look different. So if I go over down here, in a live DOM, I'm working with a kind of a small screen here, and I scroll down a little bit, you can see in the DOM, that's the document object model, that's the visual tree, there's an equivalent in XAML, but this is the HTML visual tree. I can see that it says div, game item, open card. That open card is the class that's currently applying there. That's a state you can only reach via JavaScript. If you go and you open this application in another HTML tool, first of all, it won't open at all because it's a Windows 8 style app. But if you open anything based on JavaScript in a different HTML tool, anything that's dynamic and executes, you won't be able to see it all. You have to actually go run the thing, right? This is cool. This is very cool. Needless to say, if you've been dealing with web development tools for a long time, it's basically Notepad and your browser, right? So we're actually showing you, hey, here's open card. I might want to style that differently. So I can go over to open card, and I can say, you know what, I don't think that color looks really nice. I kind of want it to be blue or something like that. And it's actually going to change it. I don't have to run it. I don't have to do anything. It just changed it. It's done, I mean, I have to save it. I should probably save it. But that's it. So you can also notice that all of these little lightning bolts are there. That's showing that those are all dynamically created by JavaScript. So that's just a little, well, you can hover over one. There it goes. This element is created at runtime. If I go over to the HTML attributes, notice that some of these things are read-only. That's because you can't change the actual element that was created, but you can change the style rule, which is why CSS properties is not read-only, right? So I can go in and out of interactive mode as I wish, getting my application into a state that I want to style, returning to the artboard, styling it, and going through that process. So for those of you who are HTML people, there are a couple main things to know about here. And they can all be summarized by opening this box. The display, the big stuff to know about is that we are Internet Explorer 10. We are the first browser to fully support the W3C standard, Flexbox, and Grid. Some of the other browsers are playing catch up, poor other browsers. But we support the standard. We didn't make it. It's W3C standard, Flexbox, and Grid. It makes things, doing things that are really, really complicated, like centering something on a page, a lot easier. That's Flexbox. And Grid is obviously a grid. It's a real grid. It's not a table. And IE10 supports those things. And we heavily make use of those layout elements in creating Windows 8 style applications. So I just went through a quick overview of this stuff. What questions do you guys have? Yes. Are you, is it, the question was how does C Sharp and JavaScript compare? Are you talking about the tool?
The interactive mode, the question is, let me rephrase the question. Is the interactive mode also available for XAML applications? The answer is no right now. We get a lot of feedback. Clearly people like this a lot, but we don't have that right now for XAML.
I'm on the HTML side house. Uni's on the XAML side house, so I'm kind of rubbing it. I'm kind of knifing him a little bit here. Yeah.
Yes.
No. Yeah. So this is, we really want to do this next, but I'll show you what we can do. So let me just go back over here. Let's say I'm styling the body of this, the game body, and I want to hide pieces of the visual tree. As opposed to styles, I want to hide pieces of the visual tree. I can do that just by turning these off. Note, app is still running. I've not shut down the app. It's still running. And then I can go turn those back on. You can do that. You can turn off and on, hide and show pieces of the visual tree. That's not changing the way it's going to look when I run it. That's only changing the way it looks at design time. No, I can't go over here and change. If I have this element selected, I'll just show you one thing. Over on the left-hand side over here, these are all of my style rules. Over here, under applied style rules, those are the ones that apply to the currently selected element. And in neither of those locations can you turn off those, off and on those style rules. That's awesome. It would be cool. We're hoping to get to that. I agree. Yeah, so, you know, let's say I want to, you know, change just the background color of just the game title here, and I want to change it in my game title ID rule, you know, and I want to just, you know, background, so this just, you know, filtered it down to background things, or I want to change the font size. There you go. Yep. So, how long have I been talking? We've got 15 minutes left. We can talk about anything.
We can show some more things.
You know, platform versus platform, or, you know, tooling questions, or other things that we can't answer. No, I'm kidding.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit
Unit tests.
Yes. I'm not an expert in writing those tests, but I do know for a fact. Let me repeat the question. Like, how do you write unit tests for a Win8 application? Would that be a good way of phrasing the question?
Yeah.
Which platform? Are you talking HTML or you're talking XAML? Okay.
And so I was wondering, then the other one is one exists are the
HTML, yeah.
Right? We have models. And we want to test both data that right here.
Yeah.
Show the data to some more. The only way to test that is you actually have to have
gotcha.
Someone actually.
No, that all makes sense. The question is, like, how do you test view-specific code using unit tests, right?
Yeah.
That would be so what I can do is, I don't know the answer to that, but I'll put you in touch with someone who can help you get answers to that particular question.
Yeah, actually, in our organization, there's some people who are really passionate, it's not us, about testing a testing model view model. And it's in managed code because, actually, Blend is written almost entirely in managed code, and we have quite a few tests that run against it. And so we can get you in touch with someone who could illuminate that.
Yes, please. You had a question? Like, yes. Oh, so the question is, how do you dynamically update the start screen style? So there are, as far as I can tell,
How do you style it?
Yes. You can't freely style it. There is a few standard styles that you can apply, and that is, you have to do that through sort of in a programmatic way. You can push those notifications through your application or from a service in general. There is a pretty good article on MSDN that describes how you can update. The tools don't have any support built in. It's more of a code scenario. So you can pretty much update your lifestyle with three lines of code. The first line of code is, here is my XML. It's basically XML. There's a few standard XML formats. Second line of code is, I want to replace the XML with some dynamic values, say the image or a string. Third thing is push the notification out. So that's the way you would do this from your running application. We don't have a tool story for it. You would pretty much have to write code for that scenario. No.
Unfortunately, it's not freestyle, it's parameterized, so it's the visual options are pretty limited.
There are 8 or 10 standard styles that you apply to the tiles, and then you can, it's like you get these holes, and you plug them. And, you know, we can definitely send you a pointer to the documentation on MSDN, and put you in touch with some owners, you know, who can help you. If you're not able to get it done, we can help you get it done. No questions? Yes, please. For which platform in particular?
Are you talking about like JS docs or something like that?
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, code-centric documentation, right? Yeah. So that's something that would plug into what we were talking about earlier with MS Build. We don't have necessarily an integration point for that, but every time you hit build, you're running an MS Build executable. And that's where people would plug in something like that. You could execute JS docs on your job. It's just JavaScript files, right? You could run, similarly, you could run JS lint at the same time, right? Or CSS lint or something.
Or minification,
right. Yeah, or compression. Well, you don't really need compression as much, but. Right.
Okay, I know that I can debug an object.
You're talking about a console that would accept input. Do you have any idea?
Yeah, I can. My team actually works on the features like the JavaScript console and the diagnostic tools in Visual Studio. I know it's on the backlog. I'll make sure, add another hit count to that. But it's a popular request.
Without actual access to the device. As far as I can tell, what you can do is, I think there is an option in Visual Studio that lets you see sort of a preview screen, but I don't think it's interactive. So if you want to touch it, you really need access to the physical device.
But I think that's what you're saying, right? You've got a physical device, and he wants to do remote.
Yeah, that's what can you use the mouse to drive the physical device?
No,
not like the simulator. There is no way to send input sort of to the physical device, as far as I can tell. No, you have to interact with the device itself. But then, of course, it's live debugging, so breakpoints and stuff like that will be hit in Visual Studio in pretty much real time as you're doing things, you know. So, yes. Yeah, so
you're just talking using VMs that are running Windows 8. Oh yeah, that's all we've been doing for 2 years. Yeah, until a month ago.
But I'll give you some important things. First of all, you should consider boot. Which virtualization software are you using? Hyper-V. So VirtualBox, I know that there are known issues, graphics driver compatibility issues with VirtualBox. It's fair.
I've been using a Windows Server that's had, my Windows Server in my desk has got, the past 20 versions of our drops of Windows running on it, which includes the Visual Studio and it includes, they're all Windows 8 client.
The general answer is, big picture answer is yes, but the asterisk is, your mileage may vary depending upon which virtualization software you're using. Because I know for a fact that there are some driver compatibility issues with Oracle's VBox, as an example. No, it's fair enough. I've been running
Windows Server on my laptop as my primary OS for 3 years. I mean, and every now and then I'll hit a driver issue, but it really helps me to be able to actually, the one I go on the road with, dual boots, one half into Windows Server and one half into Windows Client. And until recently it was Windows 7 and now it's Windows 8. And that makes for a great box. If I want to run a VM, I snap over to the server.
Again, someone from Windows may be able to more precisely answer your compat. We don't know the compat matrix and what's supported or not. Someone from Windows potentially has a better answer to that question than what we do. More questions? Yes, please. As in gesturing? Oh, do you mean user experience guidelines? Or? So which platform are you essentially targeting? Got it. So you want some examples or code examples that show you how to detect certain gestures and respond to them, right? So we can definitely look around.
Let's follow up afterwards. Yeah.
We'll send you some pointers. If you have some sample documentation or code, we can send that your way. Yep. More questions? Yes, please. So, I see the code analysis. code analysis for web projects. I know that profiler, there is no profiling story for web applications today, or it's not there. I'm not sure about code analysis.
Yeah, there's no, the code analysis doesn't run against your JavaScript this time.
Now that said, your JavaScript application could use some C++ code, and you can run code analysis on that one. But yes. Yeah, we can talk about it. So how many of you have heard the terminology? The question was hybrid apps. How many of you have heard the terminology hybrid apps? So the idea is that, you know, you can use the technology of your choice, XAML or HTML, develop your front end on it, and then, you know, write your code in whichever language you want, as long as those are exposed as WinRT types. So they can interop with sort of like, you know, the language of your choice. So Visual Studio has pretty good support for building such applications. I can show a quick demo if people are interested. So here, I can use this any technology I want. I'm going to show how to sort of like create a WinRT component in XAML and consume that from your managed application. So, or C++ and consume that from C#. So here is my C# application. Let's just go and bring up, you know, here's a blank project. What I can do is I can add a C++ WinRT component into this solution. So let's go ahead and do that. Add new project. I select other languages, Visual C++. And you can, out of all these templates, there is this template called Windows Runtime Component. The idea is that you're writing sort of components that can be consumed from other platforms in many ways. So let's go ahead and create one of those guys. And then, like, basically, now the type over here, class one, you can expose a method on it that can potentially be called from either your C# application or your JavaScript application. And that's the whole scenario behind sort of like the hybrid apps. I don't know if how much detailed we want to show this scenario, but if people have any questions, we can definitely answer them. Yeah, we can do that. So I'm not a big C++ guy, so I'm going to do C#. I'm sorry to say that. So let's do that. Do you want to do this through, consume this through JavaScript or XAML? It doesn't matter, right?
No, JavaScript,
JavaScript. Okay. I will let you write the JavaScript code for that. I will create the component for you. How about that? Let's see. Let's do an on-the-fly demo. JavaScript, Windows Store. Let's go ahead and create a blank app. Is good?
Yeah.
Looks good. He's going to be the front-end developer. I'm going to be the back-end developer. I'm going to do the easy part. Add new project. I'm going to create a C# WinRT component because I don't know C++ all that well. WinRT component, let's just call it my WinRT component. I spelled it right, looks good. And what I'm going to do is in my class, I'm going to expose a function called public void, you know, call me. And I'm going to return, actually, let's just return a string so we can see something useful. Public string call me. Return hello world. Oops. Keyboard is a little awkward, sorry. Okay, so here is what I've done. Let's just build it. Let's hope everything builds. Now what I can do is add a reference to it from my JavaScript application, right? So I go to the solution, I browse the project, I hit OK. There we go. Now, I'm hoping I can write the JavaScript, but I'll let you. I don't know how, so I can say script, correct? And then I can say var foo equals my WinRT component dot class one dot, what is it called? None. Okay. Var my object. You have to new it up, right? New my WinRT component dot class one, correct? That's good. Var my string equals my object. And you can see like you get full IntelliSense as you're typing, so that's pretty cool. We are actually executing all of your JavaScript to get you IntelliSense as accurate as possible. Call me. And I'm guessing I can debug this as well, can I? So I can put a breakpoint here.
Another fun thing I'll point out is you'll notice that the name of the function there, call me, is actually lowercased to match JavaScript naming standards, even though you capitalized it back in your WinRT component.
And there we go. So if I hit F10, I guess. Oops, sorry. How do I see the inspect the locals after execution?
Just down at the bottom there you've got.
How do you go to the next statement? F11. Oh, it's going in. Just a sec. Let's just add some. Let's just add the next line so I can go to the next statement. All right, so I can put a breakpoint here and then see what the function evaluates to. I wish I knew better debugging tricks. So you can see like that. There's my hello world. So it's actually, that code is actually running in C#. You could write it in C++. It's exposed as a WinRT component that you're consuming from your JavaScript application. Think about the scenario where you can do all of your heavy lifting in C++.
Yeah, it's like a specific example. It's like we've got someone writing an app right now who's got a speech recognition engine. They're running an HTML front end, but writing speech recognition in JavaScript would be hard. And so they've got a native speech recognition DLL, and they're just sticking it in their app, and they're making calls into it via JavaScript. Yeah. So you need to wrap it like this, and you're in a sandbox when you're running this app, so depending on what those things make to the operating system, they might be blocked. But given that, yeah. Do you need to recompile? I can't remember.
You can potentially load library.
Oh, really?
That's okay. It. You know, what we can do is, absolutely we can put you in touch with someone more than us, so they can get you, like, absolutely definitely. But my understanding is, yes, you can do that. I high level answer. Also, like the WinRT boundary, you can imagine that your heavy lifting is already done by an existing component that you have. Your WinRT thing is just like, you know, a wrapper that exposes, you know, that to your UI in some ways, right? So, you know, you definitely can do that thing as well. Right. I mean, there were the beginning of the slide deck had our email addresses. So for all of these things that are kind of deferred, please feel free to like get, you know, hold us accountable, send us email. We'll definitely put you in touch with people who can help answer your questions. And you know, any other issues you have with your studio or Blend or your general Win 8 development, you know, we are happy to hear your feedback. Take it back to your team and see how we can do better. That's all there. Thanks a lot for your time.
Thanks.
Thank you. We're still around for a moment if you have any questions. So areas of expertise, I'm on the JavaScript tooling in Visual Studio for Windows Store app development. Josh is on like Blend. We were talking about HTML Blend specifically, and Uni can talk to XAML C# type of project questions.